Open your Bibles to Psalm 57. We'll be looking at verses 2 through 3. Psalm 57, beginning with verse 2. David says, I will cry to God. Most High, to God who accomplishes all things for me. He will send from heaven and save me. He reproaches him who tramples upon me. God will send forth his loving kindness and his truth. Notice the words, to God who accomplishes all things for me. We all are aware at times of God's providential dealings with us. They're amazing, utterly amazing. From what we would consider perhaps on this end of the scale, minute little, maybe almost insignificant, to some of the more weighty issues of life. I hope you've learned not to say, boy, I was sure lucky. There is no such thing as luck, good or bad. Eliminate that word from your vocabulary. Insignificant. Little providences. My wife and I were shopping at Sam's Club years ago. Quite frankly, I was in a little bit of a financial pinch. We walked out together and I made my way down to get the car, and as I turned the corner, there was a $20 bill laying on the sidewalk. People were walking by. I don't know if they didn't see it or they didn't need it. I don't know. But it was a providence. I could use an extra $20. Happened to be at the right place at the right time. I happened to walk out that door, turn that corner, and there it was. I won't go into all the details because I've given this providence before, but just let me tell you that when I was in North Carolina with the church, working with the migrant ministry, because a nurse in a hospital reversed two N numbers of a phone number, the phone number that she called happened to be one of my deacons, who informed me that a migrant was in the hospital and needed attention. I had to trace him down through two hospitals. I arrived at the room at the moment the doctors and the nurses were trying to tell him why they had to amputate his arm. And they didn't speak Spanish, and he didn't understand English. And there I was at the right moment, at the right time. And when I said, why did you call our deacon? He said, I didn't call your deacon. I called my cousin. And the nurse had reversed the last two numbers. What do you think of that? That's a pretty significant providence, worth more than $20. David is going to cry out to God, who does what? Who accomplishes all things for me.
Amen.
David is aware and he acknowledges the fact that God is sovereignly working in his life. Do we? Oh, yeah, when you find a $20 bill. Or you're a missionary in Mexico trying to pass the aduana and you're praying, God, get me through this inspection without hassle. And as you approach, there's a jefe from Mexico City on the scene, and the other guy doesn't want to be bothered, so as we approach, he just says, going by. Amazing. Timing. Wonderful. The Apostle Paul recognizes that too, as well as David. Paul says, also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works some things, most things, a few things, almost everything. All things. A double L. School teacher asked little Johnny one time, what does all mean? He stood to his feet and he says, all means all, that's all means. Well, he got it right. But do we? Do we make exceptions where God has made none? All means all. It includes even the most seemingly minute detail as well as the more serious matters of our life. That's what providence means. The dictionary says it means divine guidance or care. Well, so far, so good. Falls short of really defining what is meant by providence. And I think most of us, and I know I would include myself in that quite readily, that we tend to think of providence as being those special moments of a reverse phone number or getting to pass the aduana without any hassle. I suggest to you, dear people, it includes the intricate needle work as described in Psalm 139 of God creating you in the womb. And we'll make reference to that later. But it goes on beyond that. It goes beyond your birth, your bringing up, your environment of your home, your neighborhood, your school, your friends, your neighbors. God manipulating, ordering, choosing, bringing about. Those fit under the category of providence. God's amazing providence. God's ordering every detail of our life so as to accomplish His eternal will and purpose in our life. It's not some sort of fate. It's not, as I've made reference, luck, good or bad. The world goes to great lengths to ignore and to explain away anything having to do with God's involvement. let's just get God out of the picture and attribute it to anything but God's sovereignty. Well, we do use, do we not, the terms smiling providence and frowning providence. Smiling providence is a $20 bill laying on the ground. Made me smile. What about frowning providences? Those issues in our life that don't seem so pleasant, that seem to go against rather than for things that we deem important. Well, whether it's a pleasant one or not so pleasant, perhaps a bit difficult, the real issue at hand is simply this. David said, I will cry to God. Who is that God, David? Oh, he's the God Most High, who performs all things, everything. It is a great source of spiritual strength and encouragement to know that there is an all-powerful, all-wise, omniscient, omnipresent, and holy God that is in total and absolute control of every detail of my life. God's providences are truly amazing. Paul told the believers at Ephesus something very similar. He told them, God is working all things after the counsel of his own will. And he does not owe us any explanations. Let us pray and ask God's blessing upon our lives as we seek to understand and to deal biblically with God's providences in our life, so that we may benefit, so that we may glorify God for his absolute sovereignty. And I did use the word absolute. Psalm 57, David sets before us an astounding providence of God in a time of extreme danger. Psalm 57, if you will, turn there. Psalm 57, verse 1. Be gracious to me, O God, be gracious to me, for my soul takes refuge in thee. Here's our verse. I will cry to God Most High, to God who accomplishes all things for me. He will send from heaven and save me. He reproaches him who tramples upon me. God will send forth his loving kindness and his truth. And he goes on. What's the situation? What's the setting here? David is in extreme danger. He's in a cave. He's trapped. Saul is coming in at the entrance almost. And there's no escape, there's no hiding, there's no getting out of it. David says, I'm going to be killed. This is it. Extreme danger. But in that extreme danger, what does David do? He calls out to God. He calls out to God. The title of this psalm is for the choir director, set to the words here, Al-Resheth and Mikiltim of David. When, notice, when he fled from Saul. This cave was in the wilderness of En-Gedi, among the broken boulders and rocks where wild animals feed. Obscure, desolate hole in the side of a mountain. Saul pursued him and trapped him in a dead-end cave. Saul and his men enter the cave. From their vantage point, David and his men could actually see Saul entering. To say the least, things were extremely desperate. And they expected to die. David describes the situation in verse 4. My soul is among lions. I must lie among those who breathe forth fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows and their tongue a sharp sword. What would you have done in that situation? Faint? Lay down and play dead? Struggle, fight? David prays. David doesn't give up. David does not rely on his own wit and strength as a warrior. He prays. And what does he pray? Be merciful. God is a God of mercy. Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me. For my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings I will make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. David composed this psalm in a situation where there was no hope, humanly speaking. Imminent danger did not frighten David out of his faith or of his duty. Remember that. Regardless, dear people, of how desperate a situation may ever be in our life, I doubt you'll ever be trapped in a cave with Saul trying to take your life. But you will have such situations in your life which will seem as desperate to you, perhaps, as was that occasion for David. But it didn't shake him. He stood firm on his present duty and his faith. I don't know what the future holds. For our nation. The people in Burma, Myanmar, believers, being unjustly arrested, persecuted, murdered. 11, 12-year-old boys conscripted to fight. As you know, the government army has done a coup against the regular government of the land. And there's everything going on. I couldn't even begin to describe it. As believers, we've enjoyed in our land a good bit of freedom. But it may not always be that way. The time may come in our own land when there will be a price to pay. Will we shrink from our faith, from our duty? Notice the repetition of the words, gracious, merciful, gracious, merciful. What does that mean? Repetition, well, it means urgency. David was aware that humanly speaking, there was absolutely no hope. His only hope was the mercy of God. Mercy exhibiting itself in an extraordinary way, a miraculous way. And it is interesting to note that David sets forth what we might call his arguments or reasons why God should manifest mercy. Notice those arguments. I'm using the word as him setting those forth to plead with God. What does he say in verse 1? For my soul takes refuge in thee, and in the shadow of thy wings I will take refuge. Do you see it? It's like David is saying, God, hear me, because I'm taking refuge in you. I'm laying it on the line. David is relying upon God's hope as expressed in one little word, for. There's a ton of meanings in that little word, for. For my soul takes refuge in thee. David pleads his reliance, his trust in God as an argument to appeal to God, to manifest compassion. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah 26, verse 3. The steadfast of mind thou wilt keep in perfect peace. Notice that word, because. How do we get this perfect peace? Because he trusts in thee. Again, the word in verse 4. Trust in the Lord forever. It is interesting to note, and this is very important for our purposes today, David finds encouragement from reflecting back on previous experiences of God's providence. And you ought to maybe make a mental note of that if you don't jot it down. And that is to be so mindful of past dealings that God has had in your life and be able to reflect back upon them as a source of encouragement, what God has done in the past, he can do again. They bring great comfort. David said, I will cry to God Most High, to God who accomplishes all things for me. Cry. You know what that means? It means fervent prayer. Not just I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. That's okay. Dear ones, there comes times when we must cry out to God. Have you ever been in a situation or a circumstance where you felt so desperate that you just couldn't even say the words as you cry in your soul out to God? I can remember some of those times. Who is this God? Most High? Well, what does that mean? Most High? Well, it means he's omnipotent, he's absolutely sovereign, he's all wise, he's holy, he's all of the attributes. That's who we're praying to, crying to. That's who David had in mind. In a time of extreme danger. He didn't have any other help. He was destitute. Another time, David said, because of his strength, I will watch for thee, for God is my strong hold. He didn't say God plus my education, God plus my bank account, God plus God. God is my strong hold. What a God we have. Providence is nothing less than that God performing all things for me according to his gracious purposes and promises to his people. Do we walk around consciously aware of that? Or blissfully unaware? You see, David had an awareness. Providence that had never failed him in any of his straits and danger had well good reason to believe he will not fail me. Confidence. The providence of God not only provides something for us at the moment that it gets our attention, providence is at work while you sleep tonight. Constantly watching over you. Yes, dangers, difficulties, trials, afflictions bring us to cry out to God for those pressing needs. But all of us are just one heartbeat away from eternity. Just one. And God is keeping watchful care. Providentially, as you sleep. Well, I suppose all of us know what it means when I say God also cares for us on I-20 or I-35 or I-45, or there's some crazy people out there, folks. God's providence as we make our way home today. It's there. Now, as we close, do we ever fully understand these providential workings? Not this side of eternity. We have only very partial understanding of what God may be doing in our life at any given point, the way He orders the affairs of our life. And so sometimes we get a little glimpse here and there of God's purpose and God's will and plan as He works it out in our life. But not until we're with Him in eternity will we see the whole picture. Suppose we had a 3,000 piece puzzle. Kids back there, did you ever put a 1,000-piece puzzle together? Kind of fun. But what if your pastor put 3 pieces on the table of a 1,000-piece puzzle and said, tell me what the picture's like? You couldn't. There's no way. Those 3 little pieces are not going to show you anything of what that picture is going to look like when you get all 1,000 pieces in place. And then you can look back, now I see it. And so many times we're just looking at 2 or 3 pieces. God sees the whole picture. From eternity to eternity. God is eternal, no beginning, no end, which means He sees everything happening as if it's happening right at this very moment, not past, present, and future. And that's never going to be a truth in our life. We're always going to, as long as we're here, limited by space and time, see such a small part of the picture. God sees the big picture. And He's in charge, and He's in control, and He is God, and He is working all things after the counsel of His own will. Hey, that's providence. Divine providence. Aren't you thankful for it? Let's pray. Father, we bow in your presence, acknowledging your attributes. Omniscient. Omnipresent. Omnipotent. Sovereign. Holy. Righteous. May we, along with David, experience more of what it is to cry out to the God Most High, who performs all things for me. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.